Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the joy of this beautiful morning that you've given us to just gather together and call on your name today. I pray, Father, that you would inspire our hearts, that you would remind us of who you are and what it is that you want to accomplish in us and through us in this world. I pray that the song of your comfort would fill our hearts and our minds today in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. When I was 16 years old, that Christmas, I got a CD Walkman, which I know is not very cool anymore, but 100 years ago, it was so stinking cool. And I remember I got my first two CDs with this Walkman on Christmas, and I got The Cranberries and I got Candlebox. I'm 100% dating myself, but you don't get to judge me. It was super rockin' 90s, and I loved this Walkman. Like, I would lay in my room, and I would listen to these CDs over and over and over and again, and I would have some songs on repeat and, of course, memorize this word and listen. To this day, when I hear the Cranberry song, I can instantly, number one, sing all of the words, to the detriment of everybody around me. And number two, it super takes me back to being that 16-year-old girl again. Have you ever heard songs that do that? They like instantly take you back to a moment of time. And I was all dramatic and angsty, and I feel that like stirred up in me again. And I can bust out of Mean Zombies. I won't because I care for your ears, but I can. And it's funny because there's so many things I've forgotten over the years, right? Like so many parts of my life, but song lyrics aren't one of them. Like I have a mind for songs. Like I'm pretty sure 90% of my brain is just song lyrics that are stuck there and they're like glue and I can turn every conversation into a song. But there's something powerful about music because for some things, music brings back memories, right? It reminds you of who you were when you used to hear that song. And it brings back memories that maybe you haven't thought about for a while and what life was like and when you first heard that song and where you were and what you would do. And it also has the ability to stir up emotions. There's something so incredible. There are some songs, like my family used to be super obsessed with Whiskey Lullaby. I don't know if you've ever heard that song before. It's like instant I want to cry, like instant depression. There are songs for good or for bad that stir up emotion in us. And sometimes it's just joy. Like it's hard to listen to some songs and not feel happy and not want to move a little bit in an uncoordinated way with the song, or it stirs up emotions within inside of us. Or sometimes it brings back feelings that we've totally forgotten about. Ideas that we used to think or things that we used to think were so important, like when I was 16 and everything was so important and dramatic. Or it can help change our mood. I had a couple months ago an hour drive and I was by myself. And I'm not really by myself in the car anymore. So usually like the playlist that happens in our car is a movie. And it's a children's movie, and I don't actually get to see it because the TV's behind me, but I can tell you a lot of words to kids' movies I don't actually ever see. But I had this hour drive by myself, and I plugged in my phone, and I put my iTunes on, and it was like every song, like over the top, that I could like shout and scream, and the windows were down, and I felt so lighthearted, like it was able to change my mood. I won't tell you what songs I was listening to because you will judge me. But it was so good for my heart. It did something so fun and inspiring, and it changed the mood. Or you've been there before, right? Like you're just a little bit grouchy and you turn a song on, or we do like dance parties in our house. Like we play some like crazy loud music and we dance. And it has the ability to change how we feel and help us feel a little bit better. And even it can feel comforting. When my babies were little, I would sing to them and rock them. And there were days that I would walk up and down the hallway and I'd run out of songs to sing. So I'd start singing Christmas carols because I had nothing else to sing. But I would rock my babies and I would hold them and jiggle and do the dance and sing a song. And You Are My Sunshine is like our song that we go to. And it feels like comfort to them. And that song is a memory in their heart that feels comforting to them. Some music feels that way. It feels like comfort, like a warm sweater that we've wrapped ourselves in, or fall when it gets a little bit chilly and you get to wear a big blanket, and that comfort that you feel from music. But comfort is a funny thing because it works in a few different ways. In some ways, we look for comfort in very, very unhealthy ways. And unhealthy comfort is, it's distracting. right? We want to distract ourselves from the pain, or we want to numb ourselves to how bad it feels, and I don't want to feel that way anymore, so I'll do this instead. And so we go to these kind of unhealthy options that we turn to, that we reach for, right? Like, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm grouchy, I'm sad, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, whatever the emotion is, and we don't like feeling that way, and we say, what can I do to feel better? What can I reach for that will make this feeling go away? But usually they're not the healthy things we reach for in those moments, right? Like, I'm going to binge watch Netflix because it's easier to get wrapped up in somebody's fake life than it is to deal with my real one. Or I'm going to eat comfort food. They call it comfort food for a reason, because it feels better when you eat it. Maybe not later, but when you eat it, it feels good. Or this is when we reach for things that we know aren't good for us, right? Like, shopping feels better. I feel better when I'm buying new things. Maybe not when I get the bill, but when I buy them, I feel good. Or drinking, whatever that is. They distract us, but they don't actually lead to long-lasting comfort. They're shadow. They're distractions. And they don't do anything healthy for our souls. They numb, they distract, but they wear off quickly. But on the other hand, there is healthy comfort that works. The kind of comfort that leads us to strength and hope. The kind of comfort that leads to a feeling of security. Like, everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to work out. And it might feel uncomfortable right now. And it might be a little bit not great. But things are going to work out. And there's the kind of comfort that gives us the strength to try again and to get up and give it another go, or reminds us of hope that even in the midst of craziness, even in the midst of chaos, there is a healthy comfort that gives us the strength to keep on going. This is a song that feels like comfort to me. I hear this song and it reminds me of some so crazy good, powerful ideas that I can't help but feel hopeful when I hear them. I mean, the words that say, when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. That stirs up something so powerful in my heart and in my soul. When I was about, I don't know, way younger, 12, 13 maybe, my mom's aunt passed away. And it was my grandma's sister who we'd lost some years before. And my dad did the funeral, and he used the words from this song to bring comfort to our very sad family in a moment that was very, very sad. And 100 years later, I still remember the power of those words gripping my heart and bringing me comfort when my little girl heart was so, so sad. And I'm just reminded of truth every time I hear this song, that yes, there are things out of my control, and yes, there are things that I just need to let it be, because there will be an answer. And just as there are songs that we hear that bring comfort to our soul, there are words that God gives us that when we think on them, when we remember them, when we bring them to the forefront of our mind and our heart, we find comfort for our soul. Because God makes us powerful promises that stir up the hope that we have in Him. God gives us powerful truths that when we remember them, shift our perspective in dark times. He reminds us of powerful ideas that when we bury them deep in our heart, they bring us comfort in important times of our life. God gives us songs of comfort in the scriptures that if we learn them, if we use them, we get to experience the comforting work of the Holy Spirit in our life, no matter the chaos and the craziness around us. And we get to learn how to turn to healthy comfort instead of unhealthy things. Instead of the fleeting shadow things that go away, we get to find the kind of comfort that gives us a renewed sense of strength and hope in Him. And it's one of the most powerful things that we have in this wonderful Bible, these words of God that He's given us, that we get these amazing promises from God that we find in these words. And what if we just learned how to tuck some of these words away in our heart that we could turn to them in times of need? If we created our own playlist of songs that we could access at important times in our life to remind us of the truth that we have in Him, to help us and encourage us and strengthen us and comfort us. Because God's given us songs to create a playlist for our lives. And they're songs of comfort and songs of grace and songs of faith and the wonderful songs that we have in Jesus Christ that reset our hearts and our mind and connect us to the powerful work that He wants to do. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to dive into some of these together. But here's the challenge for us in it. These work when we use them. They work when we memorize them and tuck them away in our hearts. And you can do, there's all kinds of studies into the power of memorization and what it does for our hearts. So I'm going to put a challenge for us. We are going to memorize 4 Bible verses together. And each week you're going to find in your bulletin a little paper that's got the Bible verse printed out on it for you. And basically what's going to happen is put this somewhere. Take it with you. Put it in your refrigerator, in your car, in your pocket, in your purse, in your wallet. We're going to post them on the app and social. We'll put them everywhere so you have access to it. And all week, just look at the verse again and again and again and again. And let's memorize these verses together. These truths that we get to hide in our heart that inspire us to how wonderful and good God is. Because for good or for bad, we have playlists running in our mind. Some of the plays that we have are negative, and they're things that we say to ourselves when we mess up. And some of the playlists that we have are things we say when we're confronted with hardship or pain, or words that can hurt us or help us, or words that can inspire us or defeat us, or words that can build us up or tear us down. So what if we took control of the playlist? What if we said, I get to choose the songs that I'm going to listen to and say to myself again and again and again and add in new songs and new words that will strengthen us and give us hope? Here's the first one we're going to look at together. It's Psalm 118. This is what it says in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. All right. This verse is an incredible reminder about who God is. And they are words that we get to tuck away in our hearts that in God we find strength. That there is literally nothing too hard for God to do. I listened to an incredible sermon a couple weeks ago by Erwin McManus. And it was all on this idea of what it takes to be great. And he said, we all have the ability to be great because we were created in the image of a great God. So within every single one of us, we have the ability to be great. But he said, here's the phenomenal tension that we find. If everybody has the ability to be great, why are there so few great people? Like if everybody could be great, why do we look around and see so few really thriving great people in the world? And he said, because we settle. We settle for less and we quit before God is done and we give in to mediocre and instead of working for all that we have to be great. But what I love at the core of what he reminded me is we all have the ability to be great, to be strong, to face hard days with might and courage because we're made in the image of a mighty God. And it's easy to forget that. It's so easy when you feel like you have nothing to give and nothing to figure out the problem and you have no smart to do it. It's easy to forget that God made us in His image and gave us the ability to be great because He is great. And it's also easy to forget that life can be challenging, right? There is a reason why God said again and again and again and again to be strong and courageous. I mean, that's something you can find again and again and again. Not because it's going to be easy, not because it's going to be challenge-free, and not because it's going to be smooth sailing, and not because all of a sudden we know Christ and life is wonderful and great and we never face another problem again and everything is easy. But because there are moments of fear, because there are moments of hardship, because there are moments of pain, and God doesn't say, when everything gets hard, just quit. God doesn't just say when everything gets tricky, just give in. God doesn't say when we give our life to Christ, everything is going to go perfectly and effortlessly for us. He said just the opposite. He said just the opposite, that it cost us something to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That it wasn't easy for the Son of God. How in the world would it be easy for us? That it is going to be hard. That we can have that expectation because we are going to need every ounce of courage and strength that we have to get through life's challenging moments. That's real. But our promise is that we aren't in it alone. Because whenever we face danger, God will be with us. Where we face oppression, God will be there. Where we face overwhelming doubt and fear, God says, I will be with you. When life gets hard and challenging, God says, you aren't in this alone. We can do it together. We can be strong, not because it comes easy to us. We can be strong, not because we're just so strong and everything else falls into place, but because we're made in the image of a strong and mighty God. We have the ability to be strong. And we can't ever forget the hardest work that ever needed to be done, Christ did it on our behalf. The hardest fight that needed to be fought in all of eternity, in all of history, Christ waged that battle on our behalf. He stepped onto the battlefield. He looked the enemy in the eye, and he fought the noblest fight that's ever been fought for humanity. He went toe-to-toe with death, and he came out victorious. He went up against the ugliest evil in the world, and he came out on top. Death couldn't defeat Jesus Christ. No darkness could overwhelm his light. He couldn't be stopped, and he wouldn't be held back. The very hardest fight that needed to be fought, Christ didn't just fight it, he won. He fought and won it on our behalf. And look at what the psalmist says. The mighty hand of God has turned the tide. The battle has changed. We aren't running from the enemy anymore. They're not charging the gate. The enemy is on the run. Because the mighty hand of God showed up and did what only God could do. And the battle changed. The fight changed because Christ won on our behalf. That even though evil might exist in the world, evil will not win. That even though darkness may spread, it cannot defeat the light that is found in the name of Jesus Christ. That yes, sin may exist and it might be there, but it doesn't get the final say because Christ defeated them all. And the mighty hand of God will be exalted because the mighty hand of God will prevail in every hardship that we face. Charles Spurgeon preached an incredible sermon, and listen to what he said. He said, the Lord Jesus has this day conquered all of our sins. There is not a transgression left to accuse his people. There is no record against them in God's book. He has perfected forever them that are set apart. The work is finished. Salvation is complete. The right hand of the Lord has done for us what we could not have done for ourselves. What the angels of heaven would not have been so foolish as to have attempted, the Lord Jesus Christ has more surely completed for all believers. Said, heaven rings this day with the joyful songs of his triumphant saints who tell how the right hand of the Lord is exalted. That's our strength in God. That's our powerful reminder that brings comfort to the soul that when we face hardships, when life is troubled, when things seem unfair and unjust, and we say, how could this be? How could God let this happen? We never forget the eternal view that God has in the world, that the right hand of the Lord will be exalted. We never forget when we see the ugly that spreads all around us, the right hand of the Lord has done valiantly and he will prevail. We never forget when I'm tired. tired and overwhelmed with life, that the same God who promised that he would prevail, promised me he would prevail, promised you he would prevail, that in our life, he will prevail. When we go toe-to-toe with darkness, and it feels like darkness is gonna win, we cannot ever forget that the right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. That God's nature is valiant and noble and good. And there is strength to be found in the mighty hand of God. That we find our comfort in life's hardest days in the salvation of Jesus Christ, because we've been loved and redeemed by the very one who fought on our behalf. We've been found and forgiven by the one who conquered death itself. The very same one who, by the power of his voice, spoke our world into creation, who holds all of eternity in his hands, who keeps things spinning in orbit as we speak. He looks us in the eye and he invites us in. He calls us by name. He knows us and invites us to be in a relationship with him, because the same one who is infinitely strong is infinitely loving. The same one who is fierce in the war, he is kind and compassionate. He is just and he is forgiving. He is eternal and he is faithful. Which means I have to have moments in my life where I stop and say, what song is playing in my heart? What words am I listening to? Because for some, for so long it's too hard. It isn't fair. It's not supposed to be this way. I can't do it anymore. Or for some, the song of blame has been powerfully blasting in our ears. If only this would have happened, or if this just wouldn't have happened, or if they wouldn't have done that, it's their fault, or if I had just been given a different opportunity, or if I'd only had the chance. Or for some of us, the song of defeat has been the only song we could hear. Not worth it. I tried and I'm done. But friends, we get to pick a new song. We get to turn our music to a new station. We get to pick up a new playlist. And instead of the song of hardship or defeat or blame, the song of our heart becomes, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous, because the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. These words remind us that God is our strength. They set our hearts back to God is our salvation. He is our joy. And in all things, the valiant nature of God will prevail. And this song of comfort leads to joy. The joy that is the quiet, confident assurance that God loves us and he is at work in our lives, that he will be with us no matter what. So I have to ask us all, what song are we listening to? What song are we letting play on repeat in our mind and in our hearts? Is it the song of defeat, or is it the song of strength that comes from God? What playlist are you set on? Because could I invite us all today to play a new song, to sing a new verse, to learn new words? Because our promise God makes to us is in him we will find strength, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, that God is near to us no matter how weary or brokenhearted we may be, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world or the world to come, in every corner that we can imagine, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that we find in Jesus Christ. There's no power in the world that can stop the valiant nature of God, because in all things, our promise is the right hand of the Lord will be exalted. In 1912, Jim Thorpe was set to compete in the U.S. Olympics, and he was on the U.S. Olympic team, and it was in Sweden, in Stockholm, Sweden. He was an incredible athlete. He was like a two-time All-American for his school's football team. He played football, baseball, lacrosse. He even got championships in ballroom dancing and track and field. And he literally started training for the Olympics in the spring and was ready to compete in the Summer Olympic Games. Nobody does that. That's impossible. He shows up to the Olympics, gets over to Stockholm. He's ready to compete, and no joke, right before he was set to compete, his shoes were stolen. He was on the team for track and field. He was going to compete in the decathlon and the pentathlon. And he did some long jump and high jump stuff, but he literally had no shoes. And this was 1912. Like, you couldn't just bop over to the Nike store and buy a pair of shoes. He had no shoes. But he's an athlete, and he was there to compete. So you know what he did? He rummaged through garbage cans until he found two shoes, one for his right foot and one for his left. They didn't match, they didn't fit, but they covered up his feet. He put on some extra socks to make it fit long enough, laced up, and he showed up to compete at the Olympics. Now, the pentathlon was the long jump, the javelin throw, the 200-meter dash, the discus throw, and the 1,500-meter run. The decathlon is 10 events, which was the usually 100-meter dash, long jump, shot put, high jump, 400-meter dash, 110-meter hurdles, discus throw, pole vault, javelin throw, and the 1,500-meter run. And he competed in all of them with shoes that didn't fit, that somebody considered trash, and he got out of the garbage. Listen to how crazy this is. Not only did he defeat the competition, his biggest competitor, he beat by 700 points in the decathlon, and he got the gold medal in the pentathlon and in the decathlon. And the King of Sweden literally called him the greatest athlete in the world when he got his gold medals. Now, I read about a story like this, and I think how easy it would have been to quit, right? Like, you did everything you could do. You trained, you got ready, you showed up. Somebody stole your shoes. It would have been so easy to say, I can't run without shoes. I can't compete without shoes. It could have been so easy to make excuses. The shoes don't fit. I can't run at my normal speed. I've got extra socks on. I can't really get the traction that I need. It would have been so easy for him to wave the flag of defeat and say, well, I did my best, that's all I could do, what can I do now? But he stinking went to the garbage cans, rummaged through trash until he found something to put on his feet, and he got in the game. And he didn't just compete, he stinking won and blew away the competition in spite of the challenges, in spite of the obstacles. And he was able to do this because there was a passion burning inside of him that was greater than any of the obstacles that he faced. He was able to keep on moving through because the song playing in his heart wasn't no. The song playing in his heart, it wasn't defeat. He had a fighting song playing through his mind that said, figure it out. Do what comes next, and he had this burning passion to fight and win no matter the challenge. He faced these impossible moments because there was a burning passion in his heart and an overwhelming desire to compete and win. Friends, we face the impossible. It happens. We face obstacles and challenges and hard moments, but we have the strength to face them because we are made in the image of a strong and mighty God. And we've listened to the song of defeat for too long. And it's time to get back in the game. It's time to pick up our garbage-picked, messy shoes, wipe off the dust, put them back on our feet, and get back into the game to compete. It's time to turn up the soundtrack that says you were made in the image of God. It's time to pick the song that says Christ loves you and fought valiantly for you. You've got something to contribute. You've got work to do. You are supported by a God who is valiant and strong in nature. He's on our side. What couldn't we accomplish? What couldn't we do? There is no greater comfort to be found than in the strength of a mighty God. God put us in this world at this time. He's given us all that we need to run and to win right now. to fight, to compete in the battle of life. And he says, I'm going to be your comfort and your strength every step of the way through. Which means our yes to God needs to be stronger than any other song that we sing. Our yes to Jesus Christ needs to be the loudest song playing in our hearts. And we need to turn up the volume on that and let God lead us and let God strengthen us and let God comfort us and let the powerful reminder of the valiant nature of God show us that nothing is too hard because God is with us, that we can be strong and courageous. We can fight a good fight because there's nothing too hard for our God and nothing that he can't do, and that we can win and be champions in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for us today. I pray that you would please be at work in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that you would do a good work that reminds us, Father, you are a valiant God who has won the day. I pray, Father, where we have been defeated by doubt and fear, that you would shout into our hearts how awesome and good it is to know you. I pray, Father, that you would help us through. I pray that you would give us the strength, the courage, all that we need to get up and fight one more day. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.